God bless you. It's the 18th of December 2017, and our next fellowship will be on Thursday the 28th of December. I just want to thank you for coming and for your faithfulness and your love, and I also want to thank everyone on the blog also that listened to the teachings. Thank you for your faithfulness, and I just want to just point out a few things that we've done this year. We've had a great year, really. God has done some wonderful things. On the blog, we've done over about 130 teachings through the year. So there's plenty on the website for you to listen to and to work and to get encouraged by and to be blessed and to be edified. We've done a 6-part teaching series called You Are Not Rejected, which is a series that are on the blog. I also went to India and Nepal in March, and I had a wonderful time there, and I done a video of Nepal, and it's about an hour and a half long, and you can watch that also on the blog, along with 52 audio testimonies of the believers there and what God's working in their life. And it's a great inspiration and encouragement. If you listen to it and if you watch the video, you'll get really blessed. You can see the heart of the believers there and what God's really doing, and there's some great things happening out in India and Nepal. Also, we've done over 20 hours of teaching on faith and confession, and that started when one morning I woke up very early in the morning and I just felt empty, and I asked God, okay, Father, what is this? Bless me. And I walked to the back door and I just felt the power and presence of God within me as well as upon me, and God just, through way of a thought in my mind, just said, say what you want, not what you see. And from that came these faith and confession teaching series. So I really encourage you to go and listen to them. And I'm working on a syllabus for these teachings, and we'll be making it as a seminar. So if you want me to come and teach it, and I'll teach it for you, it's going to be a great time in God's Word. And that'll be available from the end of February. So God has really been just doing some great things in our life. So we went to India, I went to Finland, I went to Norway, and we've had great time with the believers around the world. God's working in his people, and people are desiring to know the Word of God and also to walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Also on the website, it's also got podcasts, and podcasts is where you can stream it to your phone or your computer, and you can sign up for it, and you can actually download the teachings that are on the blog. So the podcast is in iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and put graceloveandtruth.com in there, you can actually get all the teachings that we put on. And also in Podbean, that's www.podbean.com, all the teachings that we've done this year are on there. And also Blueberry, which is blurry.com, all our teachings from this year are also on there. So there's lots of resources available for you to listen to of God's Word. We've also done newsletters, we've also done many written articles, and there's different teachers on there that's sharing on the blog of what they've done. There's also links to wonderful other websites that you can go and visit and learn what other people are teaching, and there's also links also on the blog for commentaries and to do word studies and to use the Greek and Hebrew, like blueletterbible.com for instance. There's also the commentaries of E.W. Bullinger on there as well. So there's loads of resources on the website that you can use. And I encourage you to give the links to other believers so that they can also come and get blessed and be encouraged. And many people are visiting the websites, thousands every month. So it's growing in popularity and people are being blessed by what we're teaching. And I just want to say now, like, you know, our prayer life is just so very important. When we pray, when we're in fellowship with God, when we got that relationship going on with God and we're seeking his heart, then he can give you the revelation of his direction for your life. And if you're a person right now that's maybe stuck and don't know what direction to take, it starts with prayer. It starts going to the Word of God. It starts praying to God. It starts claiming his promises. And he'll work in your heart. He'll give you the direction of what you need to do. Another thing to remind, what is your desire for the new year? New year 2018 is a great year. We can have great expectations on God. And God wants you to have a great expectation. You know, desire to God for great open doors, for great doors to share his word, great doors to fellowship with other believers. The body of Christ is just so big. You know, we can limit ourselves just to the people that we know. But God really wants us to fellowship with his saints. And he can open up the doors for us to be involved with other believers that can add blessings to your life, and you can add blessings to their life. So God is at work, and he's for us, and he's with us, and he wants us blessed. He wants us to look to him, and he wants to us to be spirit-led, not circumstance-controlled. And sometimes we can get in a rut where we're just stuck in our little circumstances, or stuck in our little fellowship, our little clique, and we can make it a click rather than a fellowship that is reaching out to other people, not just people that are sat in darkness, but also to other believers. The body of Christ is massive, it's worldwide, and great things are happening. And so God doesn't want us to be isolated in our fellowship, not just with Him, but with other people. He wants us to be moving together with those that desire to move. And that's what I want to see, great things happen in this new coming year. I want to see great open doors to minister the power of God, to teach God's word, to be an encourager of God's people. And I desire for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, because that's God's desire. That's what God wants. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the other thing I wanted to encourage you before I start the teaching tonight is to just do what God is showing you to do. What He's working in your heart, that's what He wants you to do. And we should be concerned about what God wants us to do, not what other people think that we should be doing. And we can quite easily fall into that trap that, you know, we better do what somebody else tells us to do. But I'd encourage you, you'll be blessed if you do what God shows you to do. So get encouraged with others. Don't stay isolated where you are, because there is a big body of Christ. We don't want to limit what God can do in our lives, but there's a great open doors for us. You know, God has not shut any doors on us. Tonight, my teaching, I've called What Really Matters. And it's just something that God was just working my heart. I was looking at different scriptures, and I was looking at how so easy it is to be distracted with the things in this world, with the circumstances that can happen in our life. And I've had many different believers come to me, especially in UK, in Bristol and other parts. They've come to me with great needs, but they're not really putting God first. And, you know, and I've just been straight with all of them that, look, you know, you need to go to God. He's the one that is going to supply your need, and He'll direct you. And where there's a fellowship to be with, then you should be in that fellowship. So if you're isolated right now and you're feeling like nothing's working for you, then you need to come where the Word of God is being taught, where you're going to be encouraged, where faith is going to be built in you, where people are going to love you and give you that inspiration and direction that you need. You can't do it on your own. God hasn't called us to be lone rangers. He hasn't called us to be isolated where we are. But where there's a fellowship, you should get to one. And I know there's other believers in other countries that have fellowships maybe 50 miles away from them, or 100 miles away from them, or even 10 miles, but they stay isolated. And God does not want you isolated. He wants you involved with those that are looking to Him. And no one's perfect. We can say, well, I don't want to go to this fellowship because they're this or they say that. We don't want to get into that kind of mindset, because when we're walking in love and we're being led by the Spirit of God, nothing will offend you. I was reading E.W. Kenyon's book about the new kind of love, and there was something that just really touched me that he wrote, which I put also on my blog. And it says this: man was created by love to answer the heart cry of the Father God. Man outside of love is a failure. Selfishness is the blighting curse of the human. Love stops the rust of selfishness, preserves the home and the church life from decay. And I thought that was just a really powerful statement. And he says, love is God's adhesive power that binds us together. And that was E.W. Kenyon's book, The New Kind of Love. But it is so easy for believers to lose their peace. It's so easy for us to lose our peace with the things that are going on in this world and the things that are thrown at us. So daily life for many is so busy and life is fast-paced that we can really get caught up with what we're doing and lose our focus on what really matters. And God really wants us to look to Him in all things. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our life, in our family life, in our personal life, in our relationship with Him. He wants to be first, and He wants to be involved with what you're doing with your wife, with your kids, with your fellowship, with other people, in your work, in every area, in every facet. You are the one that involves God in it. You invite Him into it through your prayer life and through that relationship with God. When we make up our minds what's going to be first in our life, then God can really bless you. And for me, God's first in my life. I want to do what the Father's put in my heart to do, what I believe He's showing me from His Word, and what I believe He's working in me by His Spirit. And when I do those things, then I can be led by God. I'm not going to be led by my own thoughts and my own ideas. And I have been led by my thoughts and my own ideas in the past. And it's very easy. Because once you get a subject or you understand a subject from the Word of God, you think, right, we need to do this and we need to teach that. But really, everything that we're doing needs to be led by God. Jesus Christ didn't do nothing in his own strength or effort. He only done what the Father showed him to do. And he knew what the Scripture says. All right, and he knew that what he had come to do. And he followed out what God led him to do. He was being led by the Spirit of God in all his situations. And he also spoke what the Father put in his heart to speak. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be politically or religiously correct. But he wants us to say the things that he puts in our heart. And I'm always remembering that record with the woman caught in adultery. You know, when these Pharisees come along and say she was caught in the very act of adultery. And the law says this. And they were right according to the law. But what did Jesus Christ do? He went to the Father. He got his direction from God. And then he said he without sin cast the first stone. He was led by God. He showed the mercy of God. And we can also show mercy of God to others through our life. We can also show love and compassion if we're being led by the Spirit. Because if we're being led by the Spirit, then we're cultivating that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And, you know, we can be right on with God and we can be right on with others. And our fellowship with the Father shows in our fellowship with other people. I want you to go to Luke chapter 10 right now. And we're going to read a wonderful record. God just reminded me of this record today. And so I just looked at different scriptures also around this record. And it just really blessed me. And it's just a very simple teaching tonight. Very simple message. God wants you to really go to him. He wants you to work out what really matters to you. You know, does your wife or your family mean more to you than doing the will of the Father? Does your job or your finances mean more to you than doing the will of the Father? Is God really, really first? And God will meet you on the level that you're at. And he will challenge you also in your walk so that you can rise up. Because he doesn't want you stayed where you are. He wants you growing and thriving. And the only time that we're really growing and thriving is when we're doing what God says. When we got our priorities right. In Luke chapter 10 in verse 38 it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went," that's Jesus and his disciples, "that he entered into a certain village," this was in Bethany, "and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered," and this word cumbered means distracted. So Martha was distracted about much serving. She was doing all the dishes, getting all the food ready. She was cooking, preparing, and there she was doing it all by herself. And there was Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. So about much serving, "and came to him." So Martha went to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Lord, you tell her that she's got to come and help me. And Jesus, his response was so loving and so kind in that situation. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful," and this word careful is anxious, "and troubled," or disturbed, "about many things." See, we can be anxious and we can be disturbed about many things that are going on in our life. But have you addressed it with God? Have you taken it to the Father to get his direction in it? Because when we don't do that, when we don't go to God, when we're feeling anxious, when we're disturbed about stuff, then our peace is stolen from us. And God doesn't want us to lose our peace. And that peace can really be stolen from you. And peace is a garden fruit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's also a garden fruit. It guards our hearts. It guards our minds. And God wants that peace to be the umpire in our life. And verse 42, Jesus said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So we got choices every single day. And we can either choose the good part, or we can take the more hasty part and the busy part. And I was reminded of this busy, which the acronym of that is being under Satan's yoke. We can get so busy with life that we haven't really taken the time that we need for God. And God wants to be first. Like when you wake up in the morning, what do? Do you rush right up into the day? Or do you take that time to pray? Do you take time to give to God in the morning by waking up, speaking in tongues, giving your day to God, taking a bit of time to read His Word as you're inspired. And you don't have to read the Word if you don't want to do in the morning, if you're not good at doing that. But you can do it through the day sometime. Or you can put the Word on in your mind. You know, you can speak in tongues and God's working in you, giving you thoughts, giving you ideas. And you can ask God, okay, Father, I know what I've got to do today, but I want you first in it. I want you to be a part of everything that I'm doing. I don't want to miss anything from you, even though I know I've got these things to do. And I want your peace being the guard and the umpire through my day. We can easily let the things in this world trouble us. We can think to ourselves, well, I'm doing all this, but what is she doing? What is he doing? I'm doing this. And then we become selfish. And then that love and that peace has just gone out the door. Because then we become critical. And then we can start judging. We can start saying, well, he needs to be doing that and she needs to be doing this. But really, we need one thing. That we need to focus on God and we keep God first ourselves. Don't worry about what the other person's doing. That's between them and God. But you focus and keep your peace with God. And there's many situations that come up that can really agitate you, upset you, even get you to a point of a breakdown. And I know a situation that someone was really not blessed that somebody else was involved in this person's family member's life. And they really let it get to them. And I was just saying, look, you know, you just need to get God in the situation and you need to ask His wisdom how you should act in that situation. Instead of being angry and saying what you feel in the situation, you need to ask God, what do you do? Do you refrain from speaking or do you just speak words of wisdom in that situation? So we always need to just take 5 minutes. Just take a minute to stop what you're doing. Don't get so involved with, you know, especially when it comes to family. When it comes to family, because we're emotionally attached to one another, we can start casting the stones very quick. But if we want to do the right thing, then we can keep God in that situation. We can ask God what to advise, what to do. And sometimes you might just need to be quiet and not say anything. But don't let the things in this world get so busy and burden you down where you lose your peace, you lose your focus. And then you're all a bit like Martha, all shook up, demanding of the Lord that he should do something for you. Right? Because what God requires is faith. A heart of faith, a heart of belief, and a heart of trust, a heart of confidence that he's going to help you in your situation. And it reminds me of Psalms 23, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. So, whatever's going on, just remember God is with you. And when you make up your mind to keep God first in that situation, then you're going to get very blessed. In Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read this from the Living Bible translation because I thought it's the same record I just read now from the King James Version. And this is the Living Bible translation. It says, "And Jesus and his disciples continued their way to Jerusalem. They came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat on the floor listening to Jesus as he talked. But Martha was the jittery type and was worried over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Sir, does it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said unto her, 'Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her.'" So Mary, she chose what really mattered, and she got blessed, and it wasn't going to be taken away from her. And so when we choose what really matters, God is going to bless us in the presence of the people around us as well. We can be a blessing. We can be a witness of the blessings of God when we keep God first. So Jesus Christ was showing the people also what really matters in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read this as a wonderful record. So what really matters to you? What's really the priority in your life? Is it your ministry? Is it what you think that God wants you to do? Or is it, or are you being spirit-led? Is it what God wants you to do? And that's one thing I had to recognize also, because there was lots of things I wanted to do, but it really wasn't what God wanted me to do. So when it was fruitless, then I realized I've been doing things in my own strength. So then I think, okay, well, what do I do then? And it was like, nothing. You just wait until God leads you. So when I'd done that, then I started to be led in and to be more prosperous and more fruitful because I was allowing God to lead me and show me what to do. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read from verse 24, and it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon is riches, wealth. You can't serve both, right? God wants to be first. You're either going to cleave to God or you're going to cleave to your wealth. Verse 25 says, therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you. Now he's telling them what really matters. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Yes, it is. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, those birds are full-time birds. God takes care of them. They go about doing what they got to do, but God has provided for them. And we're worth much more than birds. And God knows your need. God knows what your need is right now. If you're not going to put God first, how are you going to expect him to meet your need? He wants to be first. He loves you. He has mercy. And he takes care of you. And you don't go without. But when he's truly first, then he can. You're putting him in a position because of your believing and your confidence and trust in him for him to really bless you. I've had a few other people come to me and tell me about their hard times. And these are believers, but they're not trusting God. They're not fellowshipping. They're not doing what they know to do. And they know to come to fellowship. They know to get into the word, to pray, to speak in tongues, but they're not doing it. So no wonder why they're going through those things. And I shared this with some of the people I've spoken to. God wants to be first. You need to put the right things first. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? You know, you want to sit there and worry about your things. It's not going to add anything to you. It's not going to make you grow. It's not going to make you prosperous. It's not going to provide your need when you're sat there being anxious about things. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they don't work, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He's saying, look, if you're worrying about all these things, you've got little faith. Okay, your faith is not big faith, it's little faith. Therefore, this is how you remedy it. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father, he's your father, he's a dad. A dad, a good dad, takes care of his family. Knoweth that you have need of all these things. Listen, God knows what you need. And he's saying, well, look, come to me. Desire from me. Believe me, trust me, stay in faith, and I'll take care of it for you. But this is what God wants you to do. He wants you, in verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is saying, don't focus your attention on all the things that you need, all the things that pertain unto this life. Don't focus on that, but focus on the things that pertain unto righteousness, that pertain unto the kingdom of God. Putting God first. He said, when you do that, then what you need will be supplied to you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, how do we do these? How do we get our minds into the right place? Well, first of all, we pray to God. And then we go to his word. We see what his word says about these things. You need to find the records and the scriptures that talk about these things. You need to get it into your heart. You need to rememberize what the word of God says. I used to do these retamory cards where I memorize chapter and verse. And you can do that. You can find out the promises of God. You can find out what God says. You can write down little verses to remind you and rehearse them in your mind so that it's in your heart. Get it right in that heart where you rememberize it. You can bring it to your mind. And then when your situation comes up, you can say what God says rather than what your feelings or your emotions are going to try and dominate and tell you to say. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, wonderful records again. And we just need to keep the priorities right. We don't need to be distracted with what is going on in this world. The adversary, he's the God of this world. and he comes to steal, kill and destroy. And these are the methods that he uses. He gets you to take your mind off the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets you to take your mind off God. And he gets you to focus on your circumstances, your problem, your lack, your need. You know, he's very sly at how he does it as well. You just give it one thought, then it goes to another thought, and the next minute you're out of alignment. You're up left field in the sense that your focus is more on those things than it is on the promises of God, and that God is going to take care of you, that you're trusting in God. So he wants to bring your faith down, whereas God wants your faith up. But you're the ones that keeps your faith up. You're the ones to put the word in your heart. You're the ones to say the word with your mouth. You're the ones to act upon what God is leading you to do, to act upon the word. Colossians chapter 3, we read some more records here. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." That's where we put our attention, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. "Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth." The things in this earth are temporary. They're not going to last. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Okay, but the word of God lives and abides forever. God is there forever. Jesus Christ is there forever. And we need to set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Remember the hope also. Remember that Christ can come back and gather the church. That's our hope. That's what keeps us strong when we're going through tough times. That's what keeps us moving. Remembering that Christ is going to gather us up. Okay, and we got a great life ahead of us. But God wants us also to have a great life while we're here. Verse 5, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." This is the works of the flesh. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscences, covetousness, wanting what somebody else has got, which is idolatry. God says these things are idolatry. "For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also once," one time, when you lived in them. Before we were born again of the Spirit of God, our minds were in the place where the unbeliever's mind is. But now we've been brought from darkness to light. We got the glorious gospel, the power of God, to set us free from the affections and the desires of the things of this world. And now our desire is to do the will of the Father, is to be led by His Spirit, is to carry out our ministry of reconciliation, is to walk in love. Listen, I don't believe you can walk by the Spirit unless you're walking in love. Because if you're walking in love, then you can really be led by the Spirit. When we're walking by the Spirit of God, you know, when we've got God first and a heart of compassion for others to reach out, whether they're believers or unbelievers, then it's love which energizes faith. Then we can really be led by the Spirit of God. We do those things pleasing in His sight. We're not going to be selfish about anything that we have or anything that we do. We're going to be serving and giving and being a blessing. And the great thing about that Martha and Mary story, you see, Martha was also doing a great service there. She was feeding those people. And Jesus didn't have to go in the kitchen and cook. He was there free to speak the word. So, she didn't see that aspect of that. So we've got to see that if we are doing things and someone is sitting down teaching the word, that we're still very important in any part of service in the body of Christ we're doing. It's important. We all need to play our part. We all need one another. 1 John 2, and in verse 15 we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," and the things in the world, right? "The love of the Father is not in him." What does that mean? Not in his renewed mind. Why? Because his mind is focused on the things of this world. He wants a good job, wants great pay, wants a nice house, wants a nice car, wants a nice speedboat, wants a nice mini aeroplane. You know, the focus is wrong. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So that's what we want to do. The thing that matters is that we do the will of the Father. That we wake up, we give our day to God, we make him priority, and then we walk in love towards the Father and towards other people. That we're there to be a blessing, that we're there to serve, that we're there to encourage, we're there to guide, we oversee our affairs, that we're good stewards, that we're there to help people that are in need. That's our job. That comes out of love. That's just a natural thing for someone that is walking with the love of God. When we have to do something, when we feel that we have to do something, then it's not love. It comes out of a burden. And Jesus Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. Because we know that in giving also, God is the one that first gave to us. He's the one that's going to supply. So we shouldn't have a hang-up over giving, serving, loving, encouraging. God supplies it all to us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is another great record to look at. I'll let you get there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So in verse 6 it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I remember one time when I was in the world, I was working and I had friends and they were all kind of worldly and all they would, if you were successful with money, then you're the man or you're the woman. If you had a successful job, you're the man or you're the woman. And even though that's great, and it's good to celebrate people that are successful, but the point is, that's not the be-all and end-all of everything. It's, having God first. And I'd rather have no friends and live a quiet and peaceful life than live with people that don't have God first and are just going to bring in disharmony and pride and all the things that this world has to offer. I don't want that in my life. I want people in my life that genuinely love God, that genuinely walk in love, walk by the Spirit of God, that are encouragers, even when we may go off to the left or to the right, because we all go off to the left or the right somewhere in our walk. Sometimes it might be daily for someone, sometimes it might be every other day or every other month, but we're there, we restore people in love, we encourage people, and we help people. And when you do things with the love of God, then people will respond to that, because people really don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's just so evident. So it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And that is just so, so true. To think that we got a roof over our head, we got heating, we got food in the cupboard, that's all we really need. And I'm thankful to God that my needs are met. And when there is a time where there is abundance, then we don't just waste that upon ourselves, but we look to bless and help other people, as well as bless ourselves. God wants us to be blessed, but we also look to give. We know that these things that we have are temporary. It's not going to last. Your money's not going to last. So we have to make sure what really matters, that we got our priorities right in our finances, in our relationship, in our ministry, in our fellowship. These things are in God's heart. So what really matters to you? And it's good just to sit down and think. Just take stock of what you're doing. Is God really first? Or is your own priorities first? Your own ideas of doing things first? Is God really first? Is there fruit coming from what you're doing? And if there isn't, then you just got to look down and say, okay, Father, what am I doing? What do I need to do? I humbly come before you. You lead me. You guide me. I'll wait on you. I'll continue to pray, speak in tongues, read your word. I'm waiting for your direction. And he'll give it to you, because God is a good God. He wants a humble and meek spirit, a humble and meek heart. He can do so much when you're humble. He can do so much when you're meek. But when you think you know everything, then you start to limit God. But when you're humble to God and do exactly what he shows you in love, then you're going to have great outreach. You're going to be fruitful in the things that you're doing in your own personal living. It starts with you and your family. Or if you're on your own, it starts with you. Just remember these things. First 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now we know money's not evil, it's the love of it. That love of money rather than the love of God. No, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. This is a big thing. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And I've seen that amongst believers from times past. Run after the dollar, they run after the pound, then they end up going away from God, end up going away from the fellowship, and then their life's a mess. And verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, run away from them, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Again, some of the fruits of the Spirit are right in there. So this is just really, just wonderful records to bring us back into remembrance of what really matters, what's the most important things in our life, what have we been called to do now we're born again of the Spirit of God. We're to serve God, we're to serve one another, and we're to love God with all our hearts, soul, mind and strength. We're to love one another as ourselves. We're to encourage one another. We're to walk together and walk with those that are walking the Word, and that are being led by the Spirit of God, that their speech is word orientated. They're being inspired by the Father. These are the people that you need to be around, not the people that are into the world, that end up rubbing off on you and bringing you down. Isaiah, go to Isaiah. Records that will help us stay and remind us to stay focused on the Father. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. And I love this record. It says, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast." That is, committed and focused on you, referring to God. "In both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation." See, our confident expectation of all the things pertaining to life and living is on God. That's where our confident expectation, that he is the supplier of all of our needs, of our physical needs, our mental needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, that God supplies every single need when we keep him first, when we go to him, when we seek his heart, when we ask him for the direction, when we stop doing things in our own strength, in our own effort and our own ability, when we look to him, then God can really do his best work in you. And there's great things that God wants to do in you and through you, but we got to take a step back, look at what we're doing, assess what we're doing. Are we doing what God wants? Are we doing what we think God wants? Or are we doing things out of our own strength and our knowledge? The temptations are there, is easily to do that, but we want to please God by being led by him and doing those things that he wants us to do. Then we know we'll be successful. Then we know we'll see growth, we'll see outreach, we'll see the unity, so that we can keep it. The unity is already there, but we're seeing it in manifestation. Because when people are walking by the Spirit of God, they're not at loggerheads with everyone. They're not at loggerheads with one another. If you're walking by the Spirit and I'm walking by the Spirit, we're not at loggerheads. Even if we disagree on things, we're still walking in love. We're still looking out for each other's best interest. We're still praying for one another. We're still speaking in tongues. These things are just so really important. Philippians chapter 4 is another great record. This is how to keep ourselves focused and locked in with God. And verse 6 says, "Be anxious." Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. See, it starts with the prayer and supplication, specific requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. Go to God, okay? Keep him first. And if you want to see great things happen, then you're going to need to spend time also in prayer, speaking in tongues, giving him your desires. Tell God your desire. Ask God for his desires in your heart. Here, put them there. And verse 7 says, "And the peace of God," when you do that, when you're not being anxious, but you're casting all your cares to him, all your anxieties to him, then this is what he does. And it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." So that peace is a guarding peace, "which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And this is how we do it. Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," what do? Think on these things. That's setting your affections on things above. That's setting your thoughts on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand side of God. "Those things," Paul says, "which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." See, it's okay teaching all these things or receiving all these teachings, but unless you're applying it, you're not going to get benefit. And God is a God of benefits, and he wants you to receive his benefits, his blessings, his direction, his fellowship. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." If your mind's sat there in the flesh, then you're going to go after the things that the unbelievers are going to go after. That's where your affections are going to be. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." Right? It's not going to lead you to any fruitful land. It's going to lead you to a desert where you die of thirst. "But to be spiritually minded is life," Zoe life, and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God. Our five-sense mind, our mind, will, and emotions, the old man nature, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, if you want to please God, be led by His Spirit. Put His word in your heart. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify, there's that word again, mortify the deeds, the works of the body, ye shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to lead you by His Spirit. He will give you the inspiration. He will speak to your heart. He will guide you in the things that He wants you to do. He will make your crooked path straight. He'll put you on the right road, the right course, as you keep in fellowship with Him, as you keep humble and meek, as you receive the word with meekness, you retain it with conviction, you release it with boldness, and do what God chose you to do. That takes boldness, because a lot of people may not agree with what you're going to do, but you do what God shows you to do. Once you know it's from God, you don't back down it. Once I knew from God to teach on faith and confession, that's what I've done, and I know it's from God, right? 100%. Many, many people have got blessed. I'm getting blessed by it. I'm still learning many things about it. And I know many more people are going to get very blessed as they receive it with meekness. And I want to go to Galatians chapter 5. Go there, please. And in verse 22. See, when we're being led by the Spirit of God, then we're cultivating that fruit of the Spirit within us. We're growing. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. First thing in there is love. Joy. Peace. A garden fruit. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, self-control, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the old way, the old man nature, with the affections and lusts. What we do, set our affections on things above. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what the Word of God says to you to do? Then you do that. And God is also working in you, leading you, and guiding you. And then Colossians 3:15, there's two more records I want to finish off here. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule is to be an umpire. It's to be the guide of your heart, right? It's to be the one that tells you when you're going out of bounds. So let the peace of God rule, be the umpire in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. We're called to one body, not many different bodies or fragments of the body. We're called to one body. And it says, and be thankful. And again, this wonderful record which Jason taught on, I'm going to finish off in Romans 15:13. And it's just a fantastic record. And it says, now the God of hope, our God is for us, fill you with all joy and peace and believing. If you haven't got joy, if you haven't got peace, it's because you're not really believing. You may have a mental assent to the truth, but to have that joy and peace by the Holy Spirit, you need to be believing God. You need to be believing His word to you and the encouragement you're receiving, and do those things. And when we're doing that, it says that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So there you go. What really matters? So that's what I want to share. So God.